very much.
That's right. Santa Claus, God.
Well, there's a bit of a sort of a reality check in the science of genetics going on. And it's on the front page of the Science Times at the New York Times today. If you pick up a copy, you'll discover that the assumptions about genetics that maybe came with the decoding of DNA with Watson and Crick, they won a Nobel Prize for doing that back in the 1950s. In any case, the assumptions about genetics and what the human genome means and mapping it means and knowing all about the DNA molecule that specifies our uniqueness, at least in terms of molecular biology, all of that is under question right now because the science of genetics, here's the big surprise, is infinitely more complicated than we originally thought. Joining us to talk about that and the author of the front page piece in the Science Times is Carl Zimmer, a science writer and contributor to the New York Times in a studio in New Haven, Connecticut. Carl, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So I guess, you know, scientists are often fond of saying things are a little more complicated than we originally thought. But in this case, the human genome as a kind of a decoder ring for the unique human species is actually just the beginning of a whole range of very, very complicated processes, among them epigenetics. Could you begin to help us understand what this is all about?
Sure. So we all think we're pretty familiar with DNA and what DNA is.
Sure.
But what makes DNA work the way it does is also the fact that it's covered by a whole lot of little caps. It's wound around molecular spools. These caps and these spools together control what genes get turned into proteins and what don't. And these, what are called epigenetic marks, we pass them down to our children. So in a sense, they're kind of a second form of heredity that scientists are really only just starting to understand.
So let me just back away here for a second. So there's the human genome, the DNA itself, which actually gets transmitted in original cell division. But now there are other things that attach themselves to the human genome, processes and routines for creating proteins, for deciding things like cell specialization, all kinds of things that can also get transmitted in a similar way as the gene itself.
That's right. They're sort of like another kind of gene. And these are really crucial for our well-being, really. If you want your cells to do what they're supposed to do, if you want skin cells to divide and continue to produce skin cells as opposed to cancer cells, you want those epigenetic marks to be passed down from one cell to the next in precisely the right pattern.
And this complexity is in some ways an odd sort of insight into the nature of cancer, and that even though we've discovered a whole new level of complexity, we've also discovered a whole range of new strategies for attacking disease, correct?
Absolutely. So epigenetics is one area where scientists are looking at new ways of tackling diseases. Another area is the discovery that a lot of our genome is producing a kind of a molecule that we really didn't appreciate before. It used to be thought that DNA was for mainly producing protein. Now it turns out that another molecule, another kind of molecule called RNA, is incredibly common in our cells. Our cells are just churning out huge amounts of RNA, and it's probably doing a lot of really interesting things.
And we've detected this RNA in the past, but we haven't really understood what its process is, and now we're just beginning to discover that, and protein making is one of them.
Yeah, I mean, one of the first functions that people thought that RNA had was just kind of as a template. So DNA would be turned into RNA, and then that would be used to build a protein. Pretty simple stuff. That's what you saw in your textbooks. But they knew that there were some RNA molecules that never got made into protein, and they do other things in the cell. But it just was considered an exception to the rule. Well, now the exception pretty much is the rule. There are probably hundreds of thousands of RNA molecules being churned out by our cells compared to just 21,000 protein-coding genes. So it's RNA is really the name of the game now.
And Carl, what comes to mind is, oops, biology stumps humans again. You have this great quote from the 1968 scientist who declared that, well, all researchers have to figure out now is a few gene details, and then we'll understand completely how this process works. Can you talk more again about how this realization or this accepted notion at this point impacts the way researchers going about looking for cures for various illnesses?
Sure. Yeah, there was this wonderful quote from a scientist named Gunther Stent who said in 1968 that there were just a few details left to iron out. I can sort of forgive him because he probably felt pretty good about what scientists had done over the past previous 20 years. They had figured out, they had discovered the structure of DNA. They had worked out where proteins come from. They had reason to feel good. They had a lot of Nobel Prizes. But there's a whole lot left to the genome to understand. And in a sense, really, we're only just starting to understand it now. And so, for example, we have an article in the New York Times also about trying to use these RNA molecules I was talking about as drugs. So these RNA molecules are very sophisticated at targeting certain stretches of DNA and blocking the production of some proteins. And so maybe we could use RNA molecules of our own making to target defective proteins and may ultimately be able to cure certain diseases as a result.
Well, certainly part of the research explosion that took place once the human genome was beginning to be mapped related to tools that were developed to allow pieces of DNA to be extracted and then put into different cells, and you could actually create organisms that produced what the DNA, what the individual genome was supposed to produce. How do you develop a pill that is going to get the RNA to the place it needs to get to? Or is it an injection? Or is it an implant? I mean, what is even the mechanism for engaging in these kinds of therapies?
Well, it's pretty early at this point to get down to sort of the vehicles. You know, it could ultimately be a pill or an injection. Right now, you know, what scientists are doing is they're actually delivering the RNA directly into cells through a lot of experimental means and just seeing what happens inside the cell. And it's pretty complicated in there. I mean, we're not going to go into our doctor's office and get some sort of RNA drug. I mean, another part of the problem is that, you know, one stretch of DNA might produce a whole bunch of different proteins and RNA molecules too. And so how do you target particular parts of the genome?
Well, those are questions
lots of things at once.
These questions all at the beginning of being asked right now. What you describe is a very beginning in a whole range of new biological strategies. It's on the front page of the Science Times. Carl Zimmer, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
More complicated than we thought. That's the headline.
It is fascinating. Today we celebrate our military veterans. We want to hear from you. What do you think is the best way to honor veterans while the U.S. is currently in the midst of two wars? Give us a call at 877-8-MY-TAKE or email us mytake@thetakeaway.org. We're also following trouble insurance giant AIG, who's getting an additional $40 billion from the Treasury Department. Here's your takeaway.
You have to bail out AIG, I guess, because if you don't, all of these other financial institutions that are its customers also would get into trouble, and they would have losses too. And at some point, the system just can't bear that anymore.
That's Mary Williams Walsh, reporter for our partner, The New York Times.
And if you missed Carl Zimmer's science writer and New York Times contributor's discussion of genetics, you can find us on iTunes because we're always on at The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry.
I'm Adora Udoji, and this is The Takeaway.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.